Going to take a look at another subject from another angle, and to do that, we're going to watch a little brief video. Okay.
It's from my husband, and I know what it is. I know because he told me right after we were married that he told me what he was going to get me on this Christmas. I guess I just never thought this Christmas would actually get here, so. See, I always knew that I was meant to be a mother, and my husband was meant to be a dad. I just knew it, I was sure of it, till I wasn't. It happened slowly at first. I didn't notice it, but after a while, the cute little jokes that our friends made, they stopped being funny. And, well, the constant pep talks from our family reminding us that it just takes time, well, it started to become more defeating than encouraging. It's actually a little frightening to think how many dark places my mind went to during those years. I mean, I thought, had I done something wrong? Was I being punished? I even convinced myself that somehow, some way, God had abandoned us in our pursuit of our dream of being parents. I thought, maybe if I prayed more or trusted more, believed more, then maybe, but after years of praying and trusting and believing, I had nothing to show for it. Nothing but a broken heart and a bunch of empty tissue boxes. Well, we eventually just learned to live with our broken hearts. I mean, it was just the way it was going to be. Till it wasn't. It was December 21st. I remember because I opened my advent calendar and there was an extra piece of chocolate in there. I love that. I love it when that happens, but that was not the best part. The best part was the scripture message that came with the chocolate. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has chosen me. He has commissioned me to encourage the poor, help the brokenhearted. Oh. See, in this prophecy about the coming Messiah, God reassured me that not only had he not forgotten about us, but that he wanted to help us. Well, that little seed of hope found its way into my heart. And yes, God does have a strange way of doling out kids, but we soon realized that we didn't have to necessarily experience the miracle of childbirth to experience the miracle of having a child. So, while my friends were off to Lamaze classes, we met with lawyers and social workers and notaries, and it took us a lot longer than 9 months to become parents, but that little miracle, she was worth the wait. In my wildest dreams, I could never have imagined how God would orchestrate this for us, but he did it. He did it. You know, just the other day, God reminded me that he provided baby Jesus in a very strange way on that very first Christmas. He didn't come like everyone thought he was going to show up. He also reminded me that because of Jesus, I am his adopted child. And if he loves me as much as I love that little girl, well, I don't have to ever question his love for me again.
So there's the subject is adoption. This third week in Advent, we're celebrating the gift of being adopted, his adopted children. And I think the story helps us get in touch with the love that that mother had for that baby, that is in a small way God, the same kind of love and acceptance that God has for us. Was there anything else that stood out to you in the movie, the little clip? Anything stood out about adoption? When I just hug them, yeah. How long it takes to adopt. Well, you would know. You would know. God bless you. God bless you. We decided that's the way it was going to be. And then I love those three words, but it wasn't. There are interesting ways that God works in our lives. Sometimes when it feels like things are just going to be that way, sometimes we accept and maybe give up on things. We look at our world and we think, yep, it's just that's the way it is. That's just going to be my life. We might think, well, the way I've lived my life, maybe that's my due, that I'm getting what I do, is due me. But God hasn't done with us, and it's not all, what has happened isn't all that is to come. Jesus came at a time, according to scriptures, that people were living in great darkness. Imagine living in a time like this. Just a second here. The idea is adoption, and then let's take a look at, well, you know what? It really helps if you turn this on. It really helps. Let's see. Sure enough, there it is. So our big idea for the lesson then today is our belonging to God is due to God's actions in seeking us out, God's birthing new life in us and adopting us as children. So imagine in that first thing, imagine a trip to the DMV that takes months. You've been there. You've been there. You've been in the lines that just seem forever, or rooms with all these people, and you go take your tag. And can you imagine this, going to the DMV for a months-long thing? What would that feel like, taking a journey? And it would seem very difficult. But it wasn't. In the middle of all that stress, this pregnant young woman knew differently. I've been thinking a lot about her words this particular season. May it be unto me as you have said, is what she said. It's a remarkable thing for her to have said. It was a yes to a life-changing direction in her life. It was a yes. Her humble yes to God was not only for her, but for many others in that line, a chain of yeses that brought adoption close to you and to me, that make adoption possible, being adopted into God's family. So her example inspires me. It makes me want to be devoted to God, heart, mind, and body. She's a living example of that. Even when life is really tough, when we feel done, but God is not done, God is still present in the midst of our difficulties. And that's just an expression of God's love. It is a remarkable expression of his love. It's all about his love. Let's turn here first. Our first text is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Would you read it with me? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Anything stand out to you about our subject so far? The word lavished. What does that word say to you?
It's such a big word.
Isn't it? It's a great big word. Anybody else want to jump into on that word? Joyously given. Nice. Yes. If you, the context. My thought is that it is, they did not know Christ. And in that sense, there's the difference between the people who are in this world system and way of thinking, between that and who we are. We're called to be His children. This is our language, yeah. The exclamation point? Yeah. And this is what we are, fact. What does that do for you? Another promise? We live in a world of almost perfection. Everything has to be scientifically tested and proved 100%. Yes. But this, these are a few things you can know. How do we know that? We know and understand that when God speaks to us something about being His children, this is the word of someone of the greatest integrity, who is honest. This is the word of someone who would never tell you the opposite for any reason. So there are a few things we can know, and here they are, that we are the children of God. It's astounding. It's hard to take in, and I think it's important for us in Advent, the Advent season, to take this in. We don't just go by in a blur of activity, but that somehow life slows down enough that you can really take in what is going on in Christ. That verse in John overtly tells us that God has given us a great gift in being His children because of His great love for us. God speaks to us about that, and now we know that we're part of His family. And it's something that should be celebrated enthusiastically, along with experiencing an inner peace that comes from the security of belonging. The little child on the shoulder was at rest. There's something about being held in the presence of someone that you utterly trust. That is who we are in relation to our Creator God. And so peace is often a byproduct of belonging. Of belonging. When you're in what you would call a secure family, that there's a sense of peace. I belong to these people. God demonstrates and offers us a gift to anyone who will receive it. And as John begins his gospel account by telling us about the beginning of the Savior's work, he shares some of those relational benefits that come to all of us, could be for all of us this Christmas. Let's take a look at another verse here. Would you read with me? Yet to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. What a wonderful thing. He begets in us brand new life. Brand new life. And so now we are alive as children of God, spiritually alive to him. John talks about this great gift of love that God has given us in adoption, although he doesn't use the term in this particular text. But every time he uses that term, adoption, he uses it in a way that distinguishes, in a sense, who we are and who Jesus is. If you look in some of your texts, when you see about Jesus, it talks about him as the only begotten Son of God. So God begets something like him, God. We are created. There's a difference between the two. God begets something like him, a God-man. He creates in you and me something that's very different. We are the created. This is what it means to be created. And he wants fellowship with his created. He wants us to be part of his family. He uses that word to illustrate that there's a change in relational status that comes to us when we become part of the family of God. So in a sense, when it says we are born of God or we become children of God, we become one of his kids. We're just one of his kids. And in a new kind of family as well. We're going to take a look at that here in Romans. In God's family, we're all adopted. We're adopted into his love, into his grace. The first time you see this idea of adoption in Paul, you see it in the letter to the Church of Rome. Would you read with me from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Anything there that stands out to you about our subject here this morning?
Fear.
Not a slave to fear? It's a weird word. So the question is, what does it mean? Is that what you're... Just for fun, is there a word that would be better?
Friendship.
A friendship? Does friend... So, family. What was that? That's where I'll come back to you. Do you have a better word? Do you have a better word that has this air quality, that like he was talking about, being heirs by being part of a family? How would you say that? It would be in that time. The heirs were the sons, but it's also a generic term. We understand it as a generic term. They would have understood it in a generic sense, that nobody's excluded because of their sex. No one's excluded from sonship. It's, do you see what, we even have that in the term mankind, don't we? We have mankind. When people use the word man, we know they mean mankind. What's that? Humankind. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Does that clear that up at all? There's a sense of a familial obligation to the Father that you're talking about. It's not as simple as that. Could you hear that? Could everybody hear that? That was very good. Yes. Yes. You cheated. Okay. So it's a very good point. Do any of my sisters here feel excluded by this term? because I wouldn't want you to feel excluded because of the way it's phrased. You're not excluded. You understand it's being used in a generic sense, okay? And that it is also talking about this issue of adoption and becoming an heir to what is the Father's. Okay? So there's a new kind of family. And it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies, himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, just for the benefit of everybody in the room, how have you experienced that? How have you experienced receiving the spirit of sonship so that, in a sense, you identify with the cry to God, Abba, Father? How do you experience that? There's a sense in which that verse becomes our own, that and that reality of being God's child, being having this experience. We're led by the Spirit now, and there is something in us that cries, "You're my Father." What's that like for you? How does that happen in you? Okay, you experience it through this process of being born again. Yes. Does this have an emotional tag with it?
DNA.
It becomes part of your DNA.
Yes.
Great. I just want to get at this. Go ahead. I'm hearing some amens here about that. You said you just know.
I just know.
You just know it. People say, I know it in my knower. I know it in my knower. Okay. I heard a couple of other things. I heard you say fear dissipates as part of this knowing. Fear dissipates and trust blooms.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. For some people, this may be as simple as this. It may not be, what would you call it, a flood of emotion that a person experiences this with. It can have that. It can have just great joy. There's some experience great love in ways that they fall in a heap of tears, a heap of tears of gratitude. There are others who see this and say, again, this is the word of the Creator to me. I have never known this person to lie. I have never known this person to torture human beings by leading them on and then saying something different. Utterly trustworthy. But they all are part of this same thing, is what I'm saying. We, as what you call unique persons, may experience this, but it is each of those experiences, emotional or at that simply acceptance level or the knowing in your knower, they're all valid ways that we experience God. Let's continue a little bit here with Romans. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Some new additional thought to that, that the Spirit speaks to our spirit that we are God's children. And there's an immeasurable comfort in what Fran talked about, knowing that if you blow it, that you can come back to the Father and say, I agree, I just blew it. So help me now. Help me know. Help me in this process of turning away from that to what you want for my life. Let's read again. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Anything stand out to you there in that? What's that?
Blameless in his sight.
Blameless in his sight. But that's his word to you, isn't it? Blameless in his sight. And you can embrace that. We should ask for forgiveness. But because of what he's done in his initiative, this is how he sees you. The question is, what is predestined here? And love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. And that is a very big subject. We don't have time for that subject. It's a really big subject. The only thing that I would say in response to that, because it could deserve a whole time together, or a book, is that somehow God, in God's all-knowing, He knows where we're going to go and what we're going to do. Somehow God, from God's perspective, can see it all. For example, some have pictured it this way. The Macy's Day Parade. If you watch a Macy's Day Parade from the top of a building, you could see the beginning of it here, and you could see it going down this street and then coming around this way. And if that is time, God can see all of that from God's perspective. So there's the sense in which God knows the choice over here and that we're going to make. And how that happens is, again, it gets to the mystery part. How does God do that? How does God know that? How does God work in our lives to the end that he brings us to himself in such a way that we freely choose? That we freely are able to choose. We can say yes or no. But it's a remarkable thing. Yes? Predestined?
But what was it? A maze?
No.
It's just the length of our life.
The length of our life is kind of like the Macy Day Parade. God stands. Yeah.
Thank you. I got a parade.
What did it sound like?
A parade. I thought it was going to say Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's great. I love it. I wanted to hear that. Because I hear things, and people in my family just chuckle a lot about how I take things. So that's great. Thank you. Let's continue in Galatians. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you no longer are a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Now, I'd like to explore this just briefly. Servants and children, or servants and heirs, okay? How are they alike? Some what? Okay, so from God's perspective, God is saying, I'm responsible for these people, okay? Is this wrong? I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with that. Oh. There are some things that belonging to a family that are part of belonging to family, isn't there? And Matt, that's one of the things I was picking up from what you were saying earlier, that sense of responsibility as a child, a sense of responsibility to the Father. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. They need instruction. Both of them do. Both of them need instruction. Okay, the second question. How are they different? One what? Okay. All right. So the word that we were looking at a little earlier, heirs, is probably borrowed from Roman law, the concept about actual adoption. And this kind of adoption in Roman law made for a radical change. A child could be adopted out of a family or because of circumstances related to like the demise of parents or things of that nature. They could be orphaned. But whatever their status was over here is completely changed in this new relationship. Their status is all related to being part of that new family. When they're, yes? Okay. Thank you. And then that person, everything that, technically, everything could pass from the parents to the adopted person immediately. In the demise of the parents, then it becomes that adoptive person's property. So that's the full nature of the adoption that's being talked about there. There's a very big difference. There's a psalm that kind of talks about another aspect of God's care. Even if my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord would take me in. I love that word, take me in. The take me in is to take someone basically off the street. You take them off the streets, and then you bring them into your home, and you provide for them. So in the picture depicted here, where Jesus is inviting the person into a banquet, that's exactly what he invites you and me into as well. We've been invited to be part of that. This is part of the language of adoption, when it says, even if my mother and father abandoned me, the Lord would take me in. There are times when we think we are alone, when we think the broken pieces of our lives are permanent, when our hearts that hurt, that's going to be a permanent feature of our lives. And we can, like in the little clip, get to the point where we think this is just the way it's going to be. But it isn't, because there's someone like Christ who invites us to come in. Because we are adopted, God says, come here. Come sit at my table. There's a moment when things occur in a group that you understand there's something bigger going on than just a group of people surrounding you. This little picture is a picture of something we experienced in Malawi. It's a picture, actually, of a group gathered in Zambia. Very often when a group gathers around and they hold hands and they pray, like in an example like this, there's a sense in which you're part of something, isn't there? These are my people. These are my people. This is my family. We know and sometimes experience that as well around a table when we give thanks. There's the sense that these are my people. This is my family. I wonder if you would join me in just a little experiment, and you would be humoring me. I understand some of you. I wonder if we could stand and hold hands as we close. And I would like to just pray with you. You can come to me in the middle here. If you don't like holding hands, you don't have to, okay? If you do, that's okay. But if you don't, that's okay as well. We'll know you're standing here as a way of expressing your solidarity with us. This is us. This is our family. We have been invited into the family of God. We are his adopted kids, you and me, us all. Would you join me in prayer? We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you chose your Son to come and encourage the brokenhearted. We are a part of a family, and at one time or another, if not today, we have been or are brokenhearted. But we are part of this family, and you are our God. And we pray that you would renew in our hearts the sense of what it means to be a people here, not only for you, but for each other. Help us as family, your chosen family, your adopted family, to love you more as we ought, and to love each other. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I give you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in your way, when you lie down and when you rise up." I'd like to pray a prayer, since this is family too. You can see in what I've read that it's part of family life. But in this family life, O Lord, I pray that you would grant us the grace to love you more and more and be with our family here gathered today. May we learn what it means to love you with all our hearts and all our souls and all our strength. Do help us to be diligent teachers and doers of your word in this home, and when we sit at home, and when we're driving around town, and when we go to sleep at night. May your word and your love and your sacrifice be in the forefront of our minds and hearts. And we acknowledge that it's only by your grace and your glory that these things will happen. Amen. Before you leave, just a word of blessing. The Lord bless you and surround you with his favor as with a shield. God bless you, and you're dismissed.